This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
Well, we are just talking it up, and we are real glad you're here. And we're back from a little bit of a hiatus, and both of us have been doing some traveling, and that we'll talk about that maybe in some later episodes. But right now, I just want to say a fresh hello to my buddy Crash. How are you, Crash?
Janet, I'm doing well. This hiatus was both good, a little bit restful, but I hate being away from you for 2 or 3 weeks, so we don't have a chance to get caught up, and maybe today
it's almost like a reunion, isn't it?
It is.
It's like, wow, there's my old friend. Let me go ask some questions real quick.
It's all day singing and dinner on the ground, right?
And dip me in buttermilk if we hadn't got an interesting political set today.
Good gracious alive. This, you know, we said that there'd be an October surprise, and certainly it has come, but it came against the candidate that we thought would actually be the one to make it happen.
October's not over yet now.
That's true. You're exactly right. Exactly right. But this Libyan situation, I think, has legs. And it seems like that no one's turning it loose, even the left. The liberals are getting on this to some degree, too. And, did you ever see Axelrod in such a defensive, ashen way on Sunday on the talk show? Woo.
I missed even the sound bites. I was quite busy yesterday. But a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about this, I asked you what was the purpose of this spokesperson going on the Sunday talk shows and telling everybody a week after the event this was in response to a video. And everyone pretty much was in agreement across the board that was saying, that's just the stupidest explanation ever. And yet she went on with all this authority. And I remember asking you, do you think she was like a scapegoat? Because this was like throwing somebody off the cliff and saying, that somebody's going to catch you, don't worry. And she's flying off the cliff saying, this was about a video. This violence was in response to a video. So I'm wondering, now here we are a couple of weeks later, and they're looking at her like, why would she come out and say that with such authority?
Well, she must have been told to say that or said, here is your soundbite. I don't think she was in a position to go out there and do this on her own. And if she did, she would have probably hedged it significantly more. You know, there are really two big components to this. One is what happened and looking at the timeline of what happened and where information was. The second thing is really behind the scenes what's happening politically and psychologically. Because if you look at the Clintons, for example, do you think Bill Clinton is going to stand by, or Hillary, and be pilloried over this thing or be thrown under the bus over this thing? It's just a matter of what is it that they're going to do. That they're going to have to cut some sort of deal with Obama. I bet you he's saying, look, if you'll simply do this, then I will do this. And it's got to be that way, because without the Clintons stepping up here, he's in real trouble.
But she's already in real trouble. I don't care. I don't care what kind of deal she's made. This was on her watch, and it was her job.
Yeah, it was her job, was on her watch. The question is, did Obama know? Because I don't think that they'll be able to pin this whole thing on her without Obama going down, too. I'm certainly not politically knowledgeable in terms of the back office kind of stuff, but I can't imagine her going down for the count without something in her hand, something in her pocket with regard to the future. And I doubt if they look at it now and say that Obama is stronger than they are. I believe that Hillary and Bill are probably politically stronger than Obama is. So the question is, how much does he need them and how much are they willing to step up?
Right. I saw where Bruce Springsteen and Clinton were together, were stomping through Ohio. And for him to even be campaigning, to be on the campaign trail for Obama, of course, I don't know how strong the alliance is between Hillary and Bill. Well, I don't think they give a rat's patoot about either one or the other.
Well, they probably don't. But when it comes to politics, they do. I'd say that probably it's a marriage of convenience. But the convenience has to do with politics. And if it helps him get back in the limelight. Her being president will put him back in the limelight, certainly put her in the limelight. So I'd say that everything is couched or measured or vetted through what is best for Hillary's political future and what is best for Bill's future. The heck with anything else. And you'd have to say that getting on Obama's bandwagon right now without something being given to them would be a foolish move on their part, because they've got the strength.
Well, personally, in looking at Hillary and what she physically looks like right now, what she mentally looks like right now, and what she job-wise, career-like, looks like right now, if Obama's out and she's looking at 2016, if I was going to advise her, I would say, Hill, look, baby, you're going to have to take 6 months out from in front of the camera. You need a facelift, and you need to be getting in shape. You need to be doing a whole bunch of stuff to make yourself look fresh and new and smart and with it. And that's when you come back on and you try and shake off all this Livia stuff and just say that was another life. Because right now, she doesn't look very presidential.
I think you're dead on. She looks like a hag. I mean,
yeah, she probably is, because of the pressure that this would have to bring with it.
Yeah, and she's traveling around all over the world, stay away from Bill, I guess. But anyway, I think you're right. That's a great observation. So here we are talking about the Clintons when the election is 22 days away, and Obama's the guy that's running. But it's interesting that we've moved toward the Clintons because of such a big part they play in 2012 and possibly even 2016. But this Libya thing, probably tomorrow night, it's going to be hopefully at the forefront of the discussion. But with the way it is, a town hall, who knows? They could have some idiots wanting to know what kind of shorts he wears, boxers or briefs, like, you know, some years ago with Clinton. And if they do softball kind of stuff like that, and then CNN's Candy Crowley is the one who's the moderator, and I'm not sure that she's going to give the conservative side too much of a straight
Well, you know, they're both sides are complaining about her. Now, mm-hmm. I looked at Drudge this morning and read an article about Candy and why they're complaining about her. And the fact is, the attorneys and both political campaigns went through an agreement as to how the moderation is going to be handled, as to how the questions will, you know, the moderator will not do this, will not rephrase the question, will not add personal questions or toss it to the other candidate for an immediate response. Or there were a lot of pretty tight guidelines on how this town hall debate was going to go because of the way Tom Brokaw did it 4 years ago. Tom Brokaw, everybody tore him up after that one because he kept asking so many questions of his own. It really took away the public's questions. But
that's the fear about Candy Crowley, I think.
Right, but here's the deal: is both of the political parties have, both the campaigns have signed off. The attorneys have read it; they made sure it was ironclad. But guess who didn't have to sign it? She didn't.
She did.
So she's pretty much, she's going to be a loose cannon. She can do whatever the heck she wants to do. And she did several interviews on her network on CNN and some others. And there's a quote right here that says, "Once the table is kind of set by the town hall questioner, there is then time for me to say, hey, wait a second, what about X, Y, and Z?" So yeah, that's, and she's already saying she's planning to go in there and redirect.
She's going to go off board, yeah. Well, she's been an activist in terms of her position for some time. And as she has gotten heavier and less attractive over the years, it seems like that she has become even more so, at least in my estimation. She's become more activist in the way that she relates the news to the public. So,
you know, I'd rather Oprah Winfrey be asking questions than that.
Why don't they just send the two of them out there and say, okay, put the gloves on, get with it, go talk to each other.
Yes, and let the public stand up and ask their own questions, and just put a foghorn up there when the time is up on your answer, and it's going to ring whether you like it or not.
Yeah, let's go back to Biden and Ryan. What did you think about that?
Well, I felt like I watched it by myself. I was here alone, and I was watching it by myself, and of course I was taping it for the kids because they get school credit for it. Yeah. But in watching it, the first 5 minutes were so telling about what the whole thing was going to be like in watching Biden's face. And I'm so grateful for that split screen. You know,
oh, yeah, that was great.
And watching his smile, it made me think of a lot of times when my dad would be so mad at me over something, and I would give some lame brain blockhead response, and that's how he would look at me. You know, was that smile, that horrible, rude smile that what parents do to blockheads. So it was so obvious that he was thinking, this guy is just a blockhead. And I was offended right off the bat, but I was thinking, well, you know, Paul Ryan is a pretty bright guy. He knows his numbers real well, so maybe he can handle this. And he honestly, I thought he won it so – I thought Ryan won it so much more than the public did because of his demeanor, because he was respectful of some – of he was talking to this old lion, and he was so respectful. And I just thought it was wonderful. I thought it was a great conference.
I think you have to say, through what lens was I looking at that? And I would look it through the lens of who seems to know what they're talking about, who is honest, who is respectful, who is straightforward. That's Ryan. Who was arrogant, obnoxious, narcissistic, and not right on any number he said? Because every number he said, he had to change it within the next sentence. And that was Biden. However, if you step back and say, who looked like that they were in charge, it would say, you'd say Biden was, even though he was a lot of a bully, and that's exactly what he was, he was a thug in that situation. He did come across, and if you look at Ryan a few times, he had that sort of a sheepish grin, and he looked like somebody who was getting scolded. So I hated to see that. I wish he had simply turned to Biden and say, wait a minute, what in the world is so funny here? We're talking about four people getting killed in Libya, Benghazi.
You know what I took from that expression of his when he was looking at him? I thought he was feeling pity for him.
Yeah.
That was my immediate response, was that he's looking at him thinking, wow, this old lion has been around for so long and he's done so much in public service, and he's making himself look so foolish. And wow,
I can see that, although that didn't come to my mind. I bet if you polled 1,000 people, you wouldn't have 10 people who said that, though, because
I'll bet it depends on how old the person you're asking.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. And really, how intelligent they are, that shows how much more intelligent you are than I am, because I think you had to look beyond just the surface to have come up with that particular conclusion, although I think your conclusion could be very right. So I think that's a very good observation about that. But it certainly, no matter how you looked at it, was a pistol in psychology from a lot of different standpoints. It just warranted significant carving up and analyzing to see two people do what they did. And I wonder how Obama's going to handle this time. He does have to deal with issues and facts, but he's probably going to go at Romney on some of the numbers and facts and the health care in Massachusetts and these kinds of things. I just hope Romney is able to answer that and at least subjugate that to the bigger issues of the current situation. Because, you know, it still is coming down to probably what happens in Virginia, Florida, Carolina, Ohio, maybe Nevada. Now, when you have something that is so blatantly obvious that this man who is our president is a thug, a lying thug, how in the world could we not see that as a nation? Unless God is saying, okay, you have said for a long time that you want something like this, I'm going to let you have it. And I'm going to let you have it again. I'm going to blind the eyes of the people who might think out there, and I'm not going to let the guy who probably is better for the country get in. I'm mystified by this whole thing. I go from in one hand thinking Romney's going to want to run away with it, and on the other hand thinking we don't have a chance. So, and I've really never felt this way in elections past. I've had, I think, a pretty good sense of what probably was going to happen. So,
you know, the feelings that I had in when we couldn't decide who won the election between Al Gore and
right.
Those weeks and months afterwards, I think that was such a hopeless and yet furious feeling for me. It was like we were clawing to hang on to a cliff. And I felt like the whole country felt that way on both sides. And for there to be so much, that turned me so off on attorneys. I was constantly glued to, you know, what these attorneys were saying and what new thing they were filing and which precedent they were going to stand on here. And looking at the picture, that poor man having to take his glasses off because he'd been looking at those Chads all night, and he was having it holding up, I think it was the cover of Time magazine or something, or People.
Yeah, right.
I still remember
exactly.
The hanging Chad. And that is so imprinted in my mind. I honestly, I hope we don't go there. Because if something big happens, like a terrorist attack or something giant, some big catastrophic thing, you know, that's what Obama is geared for. He loves using all this stirred up emotion. When he can get the whole country really furious about something, that's when he shines.
Yes, you're right.
And I think that's what he's really hoping for. And so if some big catastrophic thing happens, it may be easy for them to convince, you know, you're not going to switch horses midstream. You just can't.
Right, I agree. That's what happened, really, to McCain. I mean, McCain, I think, would have shown better had it not been for the economic collapse in 2008.
But you know what? It still infuriates me when I hear him come on even now and defend Romney over something. Why they give that man the time of day is beyond me. To me, he was a doddering old fool before he got into the race last time, and he's still a doddering old fool. He's a fabulous hero. I have a great deal of respect for him, but the guy's a rhino.
Yeah. I agree.
And he makes me mad. Now, when they give him any kind of credit as a Republican spokesperson, that makes me angry.
If Romney had been the candidate 4 years ago, I think he would have had a chance, because the economic collapse would have put him in a better position against Obama. But Obama had that hope and change and that lying, big, toothy grin of his going too strong. So he probably would have still won. But we are where we are, and it's not a great position, I don't think.
Well, I don't think the country can stand another, this, not this soon anyway, over who's president, and going down to the hanging Chad. I just don't think we've got it in us.
Well, I think there's a lot of things we can't handle. I think that probably we're seeing the tip of the iceberg of the lies that have taken place and the lack of power that we have from a worldwide standpoint. And if we have 4 more years where we have to keep this guy, and he wouldn't have 943 executive orders, he would have significantly more than that. And I don't see how we can last as a country. I don't know that we have the resilience to do it. If you look at it now, businesses are holding back. They're not spending anything.
Right.
I talked with 2 small business guys this morning on the way into work over some other issues, and both of them said, you know, we're struggling. We don't have the money. The money's not flowing. One of them was a guy who works on automobiles, auto repair. He said, people are just parking them. They're not bringing them in. They're trying to do them themselves. They go to Manny Moe and Jack's and pick up something and try to reline the brakes. He said, it is tough out there. It's tough for the small guy to make it now. So,
well, you want to know what scares me almost more than him winning 4 more years is him being a lame duck.
Well, he's going to be a lame duck either now or 4 years from now. So the lame duck, he might try to get a lot of stuff done. He could do a lot of the executive orders, that's for sure. I don't know what he could get through, especially if they see a Republican House and a Republican Senate coming in. Who knows what Harry Reid would do? I mean, that guy's a bigger scumbag than Obama is. You know, the other thing is they're sitting here lauding that guy that just passed away up in Pennsylvania,
Marlon Spector.
Yeah,
that was a rhino. Yeah, he was a disappointment as a a person. I kind of felt sorry for him, and I feel sorry for his family. I would never want to disrespect. I mean, regardless of what his political life was like, he was somebody's grandfather, you know.
Oh, that's true, and no doubt about that. I'm talking about the political side of it.
Oh yeah, the political side. I wouldn't spit on if he was on fire, but
that's the only thing I'm talking about. Absolutely.
Well, tomorrow is going to, for me, I think is going to be the tipping point. Tomorrow's when the next debate is. Is it still going to be foreign affairs?
That's what they said the focus was going to be. But if it's a town hall meeting, how in the world do they limit it to that? It seems like it's supposed to be open. Now, they're going to put people in there who say that they are undecided. How do they vet that somebody is undecided? If you were kind of leaning one way and you wanted to be on a TV show and you wanted to ask a question, you could put down undecided pretty easily, I think, and walk in there. I just wonder how slanted this thing is going to be.
But, you know, they were selected by Gallup. And Gallup has the same numbers up that Rasmussen has had, that we're looking at 48, 46 or something, and it's Romney's up.
Well, think about who is being sued by the government. Gallup. Did you know they called Gallup in? They wanted to know how they got certain numbers. And Gallup said, go fish. I'm not coming in. You want to come to us? Come to us. And so they've been after Gallup for the way that they do their polling. And so I'm not sure that Gallup is going to be all that middle of the road
You know, I'd love to see on Gallup, and I'd love to see on Rasmussen a clear, on their websites, just a clear cut. This is the question that was asked. This is the person. This is the how many women, how many Republicans, how many Democrats, you know, all that stuff. This is like you can make a poll say just about anything you want to. It's like the jobs numbers that was down below 8% for the first time in 4 years. Well, California didn't even report. They didn't get their numbers in there on time. So
let's step back up at 60,000 feet and look at the conversation we're having. Who in the world, whether it's media, politics, economics, national, global, who do you believe today? You don't believe anybody. That's a sad state of affairs we're in. We don't believe anybody. We think we're getting conned everywhere.
And we are.
Yeah.
We are. That's
a sad state to have our country in.
See, this is why it wasn't too many months ago that I made it very clear on this show and others that I'm not a Republican anymore. I'm not a Democrat. I consider myself literally an independent thinker. And I'll vote for whomever I trust the most and whomever I like. Now, it turns out that I like the Republican the most. But frankly, the Republican Party is just, it's a different brand on the same product.
Well, think about it. Let's look at it this way. We've got two people. The choice has to be between the two. If you vote for one of the other candidates, you're throwing your vote away. The last time we had a chance of a third party candidate was Ross Perot. And, you know, he went to the funny farm pretty quickly and then tried to get back in. So, you know, we just don't have a chance at a third party anymore, or at least we don't right now. So you are voting for, maybe it's not the lesser of two evils, but I think it's a clear cut choice and very easy choice to make.
Right.
Yeah, it is. But would you put Romney in there if you had a choice from among everybody? That's the question. Or even from the Democratic side, would you put Obama in there if you had a choice from the whole of political life or non-political life?
No, I can tell you, I'd rather have Bill Clinton than Barack Obama any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I think I would, too. Now, Hillary's another situation. I'm not sure about her. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't. I may take her over a few, but not many. Because she's smart, she's devious, and I think she's a bad actor also. But I'd say that's who we're going to face, if she can swim through this little maze that's going on right now. It will be.
Well, she'll be able to, if Obama's not in the next this next go round, then she will be able to hang this on him in 4 years from now when she comes out and is all refreshed and new and looking young again, then she can say, well, I'm certainly not going to diss my previous boss, but, you know, this maybe went higher than people thought it did. Right. You know, all she has to do is just hint. And she'll come out clean, I'm sure.
And I think you're exactly right. I go back to the comments you made about her looks and everything. She could do an Al Gore. If you remember, Gore is a little chubby cheek. And then when he came out and ran for president, however many years ago it was, not long enough, but boy, was he ever trim. And then all of a sudden, when he didn't win,
he grew that beard. He went up in the mountains and started doing crossword puzzles.
Yeah, he went to the Twinkie farm. But another thing, did you see where he has gone from $1 million net worth to $100 million net worth in just the last 4 years by getting into this green energy type stuff?
Oh yeah. Well, he's lining his pockets in every direction. Listen, we could keep talking on all these, and I hate it when we just get back together after a hiatus, but because there's so much that we don't want to ask each other. But let me ask you real quick, because we're out of time. But just your gut reaction, what do you think will happen in the new debate in this one coming up?
I think that Obama will not be able to handle the issues, and I think that Romney will be prepared well and will beat him. Maybe it won't be a landslide, but I do think he will beat him, because I think that Obama's coming into this thing at a significant deficit with regard to the way he projects himself, the way he projected himself last time, and I think he's going to try to be his same smarmy, not getting excited self, but they're pushing him to be more excited because he has to show some power. So I think he's going to be kind of in a swivet. What about you?
Well, if Romney is as much better as I think he is in his public appearance and his public behavior, I just think, you know, he's looked like a game show host to me for so long. So if he can get rid of that plastic persona and reach out and actually shake hands with the public like he's one of them, and I believe that he is. He's so much more as than Barack Obama. But I think we'll be okay if he'll just be himself, because I think he really is a genuine guy, and I trust him. And I just may God have mercy on us. But listen, I appreciate your time today, and we want to thank you. The audience wouldn't be here if it weren't for you, and we want to thank Big Brains Media and our great producer, J.P. Spann, who pulls us out of the fire every single week. And I want to thank my buddy, Fresh.
Great to be with you again, Janet. Back on the roll, girl.
This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash. To send an email to Janet or Crash, the address is feedback@justtalkingitup.com.